Hello, everyone, and welcome to Universal Energy Radio. This is The Lois Effect. My name is Elisa.
What's my name? I need some water. Oopsie, sorry. My name is Liz. She running. Oh, my God. Yeah, allegedly, it's my son's first day of school.
Oh.
And I'm like, well, he's 18. He's a super senior. Okay. That's a nice way of saying you're 18. Super senior.
Super senior.
Super senior. Anyway. Yes. So I got all the school supplies yesterday. That wasn't cute. And they're waiting for him at the kitchen table. And I said to myself, this is the last time in my life I'm going to do this. You know, I got the bonus year, right? This is the bonus year. And he's an adult. And That's what we're doing. That's it. That's adults acting like adults. And it's in a state of observation and non-attachment. So it's a good thing. It's a good thing. Yes. But I was thinking about you.
Yeah.
Because I heard the coach in Spain got fired.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yes, he did.
Yes,
just
I
waiting
thought,
on
I
the,
heard about that.
Now just
me.
Waiting on the president of the federation to be let go. But I thought that was good news. It's a start. It's a
start.
It's
a big deal, though.
It is
a
big deal.
You know, for a country so, and a culture so rooted in male dominance, mm-hmm. you know, it's very radical. So, good.
Well, the coach is different from the person from the federal, the person who was.
Oh.
Yeah.
So, I thought that was, I flipped it. Okay. So
yeah.
I'm talking about, so I'm mistaken. I'm talking about the president of the federation.
Yeah.
The
president
That's
of the federation
the one,
is Rubiales is the one who,
is Harvey Weinstein.
Is, yeah. Who was on display, right? He was on display. And still has not, he has apologized that people were upset.
Oh, he still
but he
has
not,
a job. I got confused.
Yeah. Well, he has been suspended by FIFA, which is the governing body for soccer globally. So he's been suspended for 90 days. Pending their investigation. So he. And I think he was also, I don't know if it was under FIFA, I can't remember which federation or which, you know, which body was saying, and, you know, while we're doing this, you can't do anything soccer related for Spain, you know, and you can't be in touch with the player. Because he's a very influential man, so... so there are all these restrictions for him just so they could just do it without him, you know. It's sort of like what they're doing with Trump, you know, like, you can't, you know, you have to be quiet on, you know, on your social medias and all that stuff. So it's like, so you can just get it done and assure that no one else is going to be harassed while it's happening. Yeah, it's fair because it's not just that, like it's not just the kiss, but it's something that started it, and there was enough chatter about that and a story, you know, all these stories coming out because Rubiales is the head of that, and I think like everybody he put in place for the Spanish Federation, I mean that's all of him, including the coach, so. Coaches get dismissed, you know, left and right, you know, and that, but
oh, okay.
And it's, but it's rare that it's a coach that has just won a, you know, a major title.
Oh, that's right.
Right.
Yeah.
So, so, but there's, so there's enough going on there that, that they said, okay, well, you know, we need to go, he needs to go. And the thing is, the Federation, that, that Spanish Federation needs to clean house. Unfortunately, because it's, I had a, listened to a really good podcast that happened on Friday from, it's called The Attacking Third. It's a CBS Sports Network podcast and show now. It's also on air, so you can catch it on YouTube. But they had a they had a guy who is from Spain. I guess he's their Spanish correspondent, and he was saying, yeah, this is, it's a start, but there's more that needs to be done. The even the acting president of the Federation right now is someone that Rubiales, you know, put in place. So there's, you know, it just goes a lot deeper than that. So the now it gets 81 players who have signed this letter saying, you know, we're not leaving until all, you know, until, I guess, I can't remember how they worded it, but it wasn't just until the coach and the president are let go, but until conditions, you know, are,
oh wow,
you know, they don't want to play under the under these people, but
yeah,
but it's like until these changes are made, and that's like everybody. I mean, that's, it goes deeper than just,
well,
those two.
It's an opportunity to, you know, state grievances, and it's like a strike almost.
Yeah, pretty much, you know, they're leveraging the fact that, you know, yeah, this program just won a world title.
Right.
In spite of those conditions.
All that.
Not because not because of them.
They were so supported by these men that were so, they were such, you know, they were such highly regarded feminists.
right. Well, I mean, it is a big statement, and I see some people who are like, well, why, you know, there's one, I think he's a British writer, allegedly it's for the Times, but I didn't even read the piece because, you know what, one of his quotes was like, well, I don't know much about what's going on here, but the coach, you know, shouldn't have been sacked. Or, you know, I'm like, really? You're a journalist?
You know,
and
get your facts. I don't know what's going on, but.
I don't know, you know, the ins and outs of what's happening. I'm like, okay, well, that's really the whole story, isn't it? That's, it's sort of, everything's sort of tied in, like this, the dismissiveness of the surface take of, oh, well, that coach won, and he gets fired. You know, what's going on there? You know, that president was just super happy, and so he gets fired for a kiss. Like, people are, it's usually the men who are calling out a behavior that is ingrained, not just in Spanish culture, but it's just ingrained in Western society, where, I mean, how many times have give your uncle a kiss? It's, that's not my uncle. I don't know who this guy is. And even if he is
exactly
my uncle,
right,
like, if I don't want to kiss him, you know, don't push it. But it's that, you know, you kind of give those of an older generation a pass, because they're older. And I think we have to start calling that out. And it is a big wake-up call. Because I think it's not just the men, I think, but that's where you see it mostly, because, so that's one level of it. But the next level is that's the boss. That's the boss.
Oof.
And I don't care if it's a boss and your company just won, you know, a really big thing, a big account. You don't kiss an employee on the lips.
Girl, but everybody. Closed doors, in front of door, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, you don't grope.
It's, just,
you know,
it's such an arrogant display, though, to do it in front of the world like that. It's just so, like, you know, I'm above it all. It's crazy.
Yeah. So but you know, so So then there's this, so we've normalized the aggression, basically. It's, you know, it's like, yeah, whatever. But it's like, no, it's not. It's not a whatever. And sometimes you get that shock of, he just did that. And then it's like, oh, he just did that on, you know, while the whole world is watching. And I had no say in the matter. So
yeah, poor thing.
You know, she's not, you know, a weak woman. You know, she's a professional athlete, pretty tough.
Yeah, of course.
But I think in a moment you're like, okay. And then it's like, well, wait a minute. This, no, I mean, I didn't like it. I didn't that. And then, so when you start looking at it in its full context, you're like, wow, I, you know, I really didn't have a choice in this. There wasn't any consent and everybody saw it. And even then,
yeah,
people are saying,
they like to drop
maybe
the consent word a lot, you know? These guys like to say consent, like it's like a loophole. No, it's not.
Yeah. Well, and it's like, oh, no, it was, you know, we're friends. Like, well, but you could be friends and still do something that crosses the line because you know, you're like, oh, no, I thought I read the signals. Like, she was walking up to get her medal.
Doesn't she have a girlfriend?
I think she does, actually.
Doesn't she play for the other team? Get
she
the
play for the other
ended?
Team. She does
yeah,
play
hello.
For the other team.
All day, come on.
So I think it's a great start, but it's a start where
right.
It's
a shift.
It's a shift, and we hope that it's as it progresses that. Not only are people who are breaking, you know, these basic human rights, or who are still, you know, kind of it's fine, that they make those changes within themselves, and that if they don't need to be in those positions anymore, they get out.
Right.
So yeah, a lot of head coaches, in fact, there's a lot currently on the world stage have been let go, not because of those things, but, you know, because, you know, performance or, you know, like our head team, our women's team doesn't have a head coach right now. We let go of ours.
Well,
we didn't say we let go. there's always that though. It's a mutual, like, I'm not going to renew. We're not going to renew the contract. I should just go ahead and go. So it wasn't like an all out, you know, firing, don't come back. No, don't let the door hit you on the way out. But it's like, it's not a right fit for the program. Like, you've taken it so far.
Right.
There are a few, countries who have done that. Like, you've been with the team for 4 years, but
yeah.
we didn't go as far. We're not going to renew the contract. So yeah, there's like, I want to say 8 or 9 countries that have openings for head coaches right now.
Oh, wow.
I mean, a lot of that happens around these, you know, around big markers like the World Cup or the Olympics. Like, there's a cycle there where usually it's right after the Olympics, because the Olympics is next year. So that's not a lot of time to get it together and work with a team and all of that. But if you know it's not a right fit and you're ready to make some changes, and maybe you didn't go as far in the tournament as you were hoping to, and if you qualified for the Olympics, then you want to do better. So you get in the right head coach, and hopefully the right system, the right personnel. So yeah, it's not that odd. I just think under their circumstances, this is the first time Spain has won a World Cup. It's the third time out, and the third time they win it. So you know, that's there's that. Yeah, amidst all the stuff happening with. Who was the head coach, and Rubiales, his boss. there was just too much happening. And so they finally, how many days has it been since the World Cup? A couple of weeks. His Vilda's staff has resigned. So everyone on that staff resigned.
Oh, wow.
Except for him.
Oh, that's
So, and in that case, you don't know if some people just saw the writing on the wall, like, well, if it's going to be a witch hat, I don't want them going after me. I don't know the situation there, but I know everybody left except for him and Rubiales. So they said, well, they meaning the Federation, has asked Rubiales to resign twice, and he said no. So now there's, I think, a civil case against him, because Jenny Hermoso has officially filed a complaint against him. Which is what, at least on that side. So that has nothing to do with the Federation. That's just like, yeah, there's a, it was not
right.
Consensual. So she's, you know, so that gives
like
them
like a civil suit type of thing.
Yeah. Yeah. So I know that's fairly new within the last couple of days. So there's a lot that's happening with that particular situation, but it's tied in. There are a handful of federations across the world where there have been allegations of abuse, you know, sexual, you know, physical, you know, poor conditions, which is, you know, this is why now they're like, oh, we start looking at these other countries, because that's what's happening too. And like Slovenia is one of them. They didn't even go to the World Cup, but that has come out. So stuff is coming out where, and it's not just, oh, this one time. It's people who are in charge, again, that, you know, the patriarchy, we could say that, but there's been those types of conditions for a long time. And now that this team, the Spanish team, has taken a stand, it's like that's what's had to happen for things to change, for better treatment, for a better professional environment. Because we keep forgetting, and we think, oh, it's a game, but that's their job. You know, that's the job they're right now. You hear of you know, a football player, a professional football player. Well, you hear other stories. You don't hear necessarily about bad working conditions for them, but you hear other stories about, you know, the excess of stuff that happens with them. You know, because they're doing so well, they're making so much money, they have a lot of agency in you know, where they go, what they do. So this is a different thing to see, so this is like how change happens. We're on the coattails of women who female athletes wanting to get, you know, a better pay, and that kind of ties in with better working conditions. But then you get to see the underside of that, where we're talking about working conditions where the coach is abusive, is just those like old school tactics, like almost like you know, going to Catholic school and the nun had the rulers, and you know, that's how strict they were, type of thing. And you're like, okay, that's not right either. So that's the sort of vibe I'm getting, where so many things are changing, and I can see where some people are like, you know, these people, you know, they use the term snowflakes, and they're snowflakes, whatever. I'm like, but isn't there there's so many other ways to foster a sense of belonging. So I was going to say team, but she can say team, a family. So how many people come from families where, you know, the head of family was also the abuser, you know, because that's how they felt, like, well, this is my family, my rules, which, you know, that's okay, my rules, but, and this is what's, these are the consequences if you don't follow it. You know, go out there and pick out your switch, you know, so I can, you know, beat you. You know, we're changing. Like, yeah, maybe we can say, well, I survived it, but were you, you know, did you? You survived, you're still here. I'm sure you have scars more than physical scars. You know, there's a sense of fear that has been perpetuated in our desire to figure out how to maintain order and control. So sometimes I say maintain order, but it ends up being about control and not about, you know, how do I foster a good atmosphere for the entire family that doesn't resort to fear of God, fear of me, my way or the highway. You know, if we have all those things, then where is the love in all of that? Like where is the love and nurturing? How can people still do the right thing, whatever that is, and coexist when there's so much fear? You know, when they can't, you know, you can't even say, I think that was inappropriate. You can't even think that, you know, because you'll get in trouble, and no one will believe you. And no one's going to speak up for you.
Paint into a corner. Yep.
Right. So much of our culture, of our society, of how we've developed over the last couple centuries, you know, a lot of that is changing, in part because it needs to, and in part because you see where people have just overstepped. Like it's so pervasive that we don't even see it. We can't even recognize it now. Well, I would say when it happens, like on a small scale, like every day, you don't see it, or you don't recognize it. Or if you do, you take the risk of saying something, you know, of drawing attention to it. Cause then that means you have to take it up. You can't just say something happened to me. You know, there's always that shady period where if you make an accusation, you have to be able to back it up. And in some cases, mm-hmm. you don't have this legal, like I didn't have a camera on me to record all this. And even if I did, it's recording that wasn't with consent, so the other person didn't know. So you know, there's all these things, and you get tied down and on so many things. But just to have the conversation of, well, this is what happened. Can you prove it? So there's proof, but then there's also that the accusation is, this happened to me. This person who did it isn't even a bit remorseful, doesn't even want to have the conversation about whether it happened or not.
Mm-hmm.
So now then we go to our legal system, which then has to have a very impartial view, but you don't get everything, you know, you don't. So it's still, so in a legal sense, you may get a ruling, you know, for or against, but to what end, still, have we figured out a way to have these difficult conversations and reach a conclusion where, you know, if you make a mistake, it's not about being perfect, but if you make a mistake and you realize your part in it, maybe not taking like, I caused it. But you know, not necessarily about all that, but just like, do you see perhaps where the other person's coming from? And you know, to what degree do you take ownership of this situation? Sometimes it is 100%. Sometimes it's, yep, you did it, took advantage of it. But you know, if he doesn't see it, you're still at an impasse. Now, if I were to go deeper on that end, have something magnified, to have a fault magnified to that degree, and you're not used to being the person not in control, I can see where you're
can mess you up. Yep.
I'm going to be super defensive about it. And I'm just, you know, yep. No. So I can see that. I can see that pushback, because it takes a bigger person to say, you know what?
Yep.
I am sorry for doing that to you.
Ownership,
I didn't realize.
Yep.
Yeah, I didn't. Mm-hmm. I'm so used to doing this, and it's something I have to learn.
Yeah.
Because I'm not reading that correctly. I wasn't, you know, I wasn't thinking, oh, I'm the boss, because he thinks about himself as, you know, kind of king of his own kingdom. Mm-hmm. But
king,
in
the,
right? if you think in those terms, then that's yours. I can take that. That's mine. I built this. It's mine. But it's such a different situation if you can look at it that way. Then, you know, instead of saying, well, I have daughters, and, you know, that's, don't do that to me.
Don't do that to me. Hello.
Yeah. Well, he's definitely claimed that he's a victim of false feminism.
That's
what
they do.
Yeah.
That's because he was a victim. They're all victims.
Yeah. So, yeah. Mm-hmm. So I can see where those conditions would come up, and if you're used to having your way, used to having control, used to not being questioned for every little thing, then that the world that you live in is like, well, why would I apologize for something that, you know, that wasn't a crime in my view. Like, it was as some people, oh, it was just a kiss. I'm like, oh, okay, you know.
Going to minimize it. Go ahead.
Yeah. So I think people are both genders who saw it and have heard about it. Like, no, that is wrong. You know, and I think it's as frustrating as it is to see people who are still like, no, I think, you know, he didn't do anything wrong. That's not a big deal. To people who are like, oh my gosh, that's crazy. You know, I've seen the whole spectrum of it, and to me, at least, it has brought up some really interesting points. It's been really nice to see men who are, especially like soccer players, professional athletes, who are speaking up, at least speaking their opinion on it, and hopefully. That, because if it could show that the mentality is changing, even if it shows like, oh, you know what, I can't be that, I can't act out those things, I can't say those things, I can't do those things. I don't know what you think. Now, what you think is your, you know, that's in your head. But at some point, I would hope people can start making the connection of ownership of what you're doing, how you the certain roles that you play. This is why there's something called child abuse and why that's been a big deal. But also workplace inequalities and situations. That's why that's in every HR, you know, system around the world. But yeah, there's something where if you're the employee and you're the boss, you know, if you have a boss, there's a power dynamic going there. So you don't want to create a situation the boss has all the power and then can then abuse that. That's all. It's abuse of power. It's abuse of power. And it's a little more clear cut when you're in those situations. Like, well, here's, you know, you're the coach, I'm the player. you know, there are certain things that I need to be able to do. But then there's certain things that you need to be able to control for everybody. And also you can't be the abuser of the situation. So it's indicative of all of us figuring out, in a sense, our place and how we go about our stuff. So like I said, I think there was a point in time, even with this particular situation, let's say with Rubiales, where when he made that apology the day after, that it was actually a sincere apology because he figured out, oh, you know what? And it would, first of all, would have been an apology to the player. It doesn't matter if it's on camera or whatever, but there was like, if there was no recognition of that, not a, you know, even if it's behind the scenes with an HR person there, however that works out, I think that would have been nipped in the bud. I think it would have been a big uproar because people saw it, but I think there was a place and time for a sincere apology, an apology that showed remorse, that showed that he knew, okay, he understood what he did wrong. Mm-hmm. And with that, a change in how he is as, mm-hmm, as a president, as a head of an organization, and as a man, as a human being.
Yep. No grace. Just a little grace takes you so far.
Yeah.
A little bit.
Yeah. So you can mess up and it might mean, some type of, something's going to happen, some type of, you know, reprimand or, like right now he's suspended. But you know, the world is watching. The world is watching and has seen, you know, like he's losing the trust of a lot of different people, you know, people who are like, well, I don't want you here. Any women that are in the in that situation, any women who are working are like, well, I don't want to work for him. Mm-hmm. This is why you have a list of 81 players that are like, don't even bother calling me. I'm not going to play for the national team.
Exactly. The damage is done regardless of whatever happens legally. It's,
oh,
again,
right,
the court of public opinion. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, I'm going to just use Lizzo as a parallel, where it's just, it doesn't matter that as any action happens, mm-hmm, but the perception by a massive group of people, mm-hmm, they feel that a trust was violated.
Right.
And that,
right,
the way, the, yeah, and the bill of goods that was sold as what this person's signature / brand was, mm-hmm, became in question when she was feeling herself so much that she decided to pretend to be Caligula for the day. And the has nothing to do with the legal system.
Mm.
Because energetically, a fracture was created.
Mm.
And fractures cannot be ignored, you know? And you're talking about world soccer. I'm talking about a pop icon.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, at the micro level, it could be a relative. It could be an old friend. It could be at the workplace, whatever, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But if a fracture takes place regardless of what happens in the tangible world, fractures take a long time to heal.
Mm.
So, very interesting.
Yeah, I hadn't even followed anything with Lizzo. I mean, you brought it up and I knew, heard about it, but I hadn't followed up with.
Yeah, I'm not really following up on it either. Just a little bit that I read when all of this went down.
Mm-hmm.
And the last that I heard, and that's why it fueled the point I just made, was that, you know, a couple of weeks ago, whatever it was, when they took her off the consideration list for the halftime Super Bowl show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That was the last that I heard, but there's the ripple effect. So fractures, a violation of trust.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And also, like you just said, which made me think about Lizzo, where there's going to be a withdrawal of not wanting to be affiliated, connected, associated,
right,
with that fracture.
Right.
So,
right,
it is really interesting, regardless of, yeah, whether it's sports or anything else in between.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Yeah, so this in the sporting world, I mean, so much has happened, particularly with women's soccer, in the last couple of years, where so much is, I want to say it's a bit of cleaning house, but there's a lot more to be done. Just in our own league, a couple years ago, so much upheaval happened within our professional league, the NWSL. Where almost every head coach, just about. I think there were like 10 teams at the time. Just about every head coach had some issue against them. I mean, there's maybe one or two that were but there was a big big article that had dropped after months of investigative journalism, you know, of at least three main people, three coaches, three teams, and then as that started out, then all of a sudden it's like, oh, and this and these people too, and this team too, and the two main coaches were like long time, very successful coaches, like their teams were all very successful. It was partly why no negative attention was necessarily came to light, because they they're doing well. It's like, well, but you know, there's still people who are, and there were people who had said things. That's the thing. There were people who had who had asked for help and said, look, I can't be in this situation. That, you know, this is what's happening, and stuff was ignored or said it was investigated, but nothing really happened with it. And so it ended up being this really big story with quite a few. And then as it came out, then people were like, oh yeah, this guy. Cause so many of these head coaches have, you know, come up through the ranks, and some of them who were so successful had started up their own academies. So they are also involved in coaching at the younger level. So
girls, oh my God. Oh.
Yeah. So there are people who are like, oh yeah, I saw him. He was coaching. In this case, it was a boys team before he made head coach of a women's professional team. He's like, oh yeah, he was abusive on the sidelines, you know, just even at games, we saw that, you know, but there was like, no, who do you talk to about that?
Right.
And I get it, because if you see it, then you're like, well, that doesn't sound right. So sometimes you get whistleblowers, you know, who are like Karens, and they're like, well, listen, that's just, you know, okay, maybe you had the right to ask the question, but that's you blew it up a little too much. but then in those situations, it's like knowing, well, who do you talk to? So in the professional setting, say at the club level, for these professional leagues, because, you know, our league was still fairly, it's 10, 12, 11 years old now. So it's a little more established,
young.
But still really young.
Yeah.
That some of these clubs didn't even have an HR department.
Oh, wow.
You know, it's sort of like on a shoestring budget. So this is sort of indicative of what's happening on a global level with when it comes to professional soccer for women. A lot of these clubs or leagues get started, if it's not affiliated with like a men's league or a men's team, and they happen to have women, you know, a women's team as well. If they kind of get started, it's because, oh, it's like a charity, you know, like, oh, it's a really rich guy who's like deep pockets. Like, yeah, you know, I'm going to invest in a women's team. That's fine. But there's not anything else set up. They threw some money in there, but there was nothing set up, because it's like a hobby for them. And so that's how the women are, despite them being professional athletes, they're treated like an afterthought. So they don't get like changing rooms, or they don't get, you know, just things that as a professional you would think, well, this should be a little bit better than what I'm, you know, what I did as a, you know, as a high school player, or, you know, like a college player. You expect a different level. So this is where fundamentally things have had to change. Even the development of a league. There's a bunch of rich boys who are like, let's see, my daughters play soccer. Yeah, let's do it. And just not enough structure around supporting the player and the players and trying to put out a really good product on the field to grow and develop players, to grow and develop the league. So we have all these systems of abuse now. It's like, oh, well, we can people who will vet coaches who have had horrible reputations in terms of like being very abusive. Like that was a style, very strict, but also apparently abusive, but also successful.
Right. So there's
getting,
a loophole.
In getting a performance out of his team. So, yeah, it's like, oh, well, yeah, I guess he's a little rough around the edges, but, you know, we're winning.
Gets the job done, right.
He gets the job done. You know, these are people. The players are people. And so we're just trying to, I think things are kind of blowing up. And, you know, we talk about how, like, your heart has to break, you know, to create more space. And then, so things are happening and if you heal and all this stuff, you become a better person, a bigger hearted person. This is that element of change. This is part of what comes with that is we create and then we destroy and then we create again. And hopefully we create in ways then that, address the issues and the shortcomings of the past and put it on firmer footing. And we understand our role in it. You know, how can we evolve and change too? So that, you know, we have our voice now. We can, not to be looking for all the issues, but to say, you know, no, this is not the way to do this for me. Like I can't move forward this way. How about this way? Because then we actually put things on the table and we talk about what's important. There's so many things important in any relationship. And it doesn't have to be like a romantic relationship, but, you know, Liz, let's use you as an example. I'm just kidding. No, you know.
Well.
No, well, but, you know, but you have set out certain parameters and you're like, well, you know, I like you don't want that, like you're not looking to get married again. You're not looking to be to that level of a relationship. But if you're going to spend time with somebody, if you're going to spend time with somebody,
I have turned it all around.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you know how that you have set out what you were looking for, and you can either accept somebody or not, based on on the energy, on their willingness to be part of that plan or not.
Right.
And it's just such a different approach than most, where it's like, well, I hope I get somebody who likes me, and
it really makes me laugh because I told you the story of a couple months ago at the end of July, watching my boss and her quote unquote band perform, and I'm with my girlfriend that also is involved with that community. We're both like, well, we got to do this because, you know, we want to keep our job. And this other professor that I don't know, but she works at NYU, but in a different division. I don't know this woman and how she came up to me. And she's like, are you Liz Ortiz? And I'm like, yeah. She goes, well, I hear you're rather exceptional. And I'm like all puffed up like, oh, my student evaluation's got to you, right? And it beat an online dating. I'm like, record scratch. And I know where it came from. And I know where it came from. It came from the GM that if you want anybody to know anything, tell her and the news will go out. And just from an occasional comment here or answering a question there, where one time I went to an event and I had, you know, a handsome gentleman with me, you know, I had a date. And then another time, like, you know, 2 months later, oh, you're still seeing that guy? No, the trauma bond thing didn't work out. But, you know, I'm hanging out with somebody else now. Just on those two things. And they're, you know, people that I can say of value to me because people are in our lives to learn about ourselves. And that's why, to quote this one, I'm quote unquote exceptional in online dating because I do it in such a way. For the one little app that I'm on, I don't even pay for it.
Uh-huh.
That's the way that I use it so minimally, but very intentionally. And it's like an art.
Right.
And I am so quick to cut someone loose and to block them and whatever. And this go round, I'm very proud of myself. I had to break the pattern of addiction, of running away from myself, of abandoning myself. Well, if abandonment is all that I was wired to know in one shape or form, you know, since infancy, you know, and then, you know, losing a child certainly didn't help with that.
Right.
Of course. Absolutely. So I broke that pattern. I'm happy to say it's been over 5 months that I've had any sort of dalliances, and the growth and the intentionality because or a hole or a void. Has it been an easy journey? No. But is it what I feel that I need to do so that I am not making a lateral move? Absolutely. Am I observing that with every interaction, even if I don't meet the person, this could just be messaging. I'm still learning, you know, and I know how to block a person before they even know what happened. I know how to disappear. I'm a magician. I can disappear from all platforms immediately and vaporize. You still are learning about who the hell you are and what is acceptable for you and how you're going to love yourself.
Right.
And if there's no guidebook and you don't have, that energy wasn't invested in you in your childhood, I'm not going to cry and say I wasn't hugged enough. I'm going to say my poor mother, the shit that she went through and the patterns that we broke and the patterns I'm breaking for my kids. I'm not mad at any of these guys. I'm not mad at my family. I'm not mad at anyone. I am grateful.
Mm.
And then I noticed with every subsequent interaction and how I came to the decision and the conclusion that moving forward, and this was, you know, 5-6 months ago, moving forward when I had that scary situation because I needed that call, like, bitch, you better stop because there's some crazy people in these streets. And you cannot disappear. I was abandoning myself so that I could be in good favor with these people so that they wouldn't leave. But the core of that wound was that I didn't realize that I had left myself.
Mm.
So now in finding myself and making the concrete decision that I will no longer make a lateral move, meaning I'm not going to jump into bed with anybody unless it's going to be something I have not experienced yet, meaning a very mutually respectful, mature, evolved relationship. I don't need another situationship. I don't need a connectionship. I don't need a psychoship, okay? Because last time that was a psychoship because he was a lunatic. I don't need that. Been there, done there, got the T-shirt. I'm good. Not doing it. And what's very interesting, whether I have met a couple of the guys that I have talked to and will continue to talk to or not or whatever, doesn't matter, there's been an upgrade. Does it mean I'm going to meet them and have a date with them? Maybe not, because I will not be an afterthought. So a couple of times, there were a couple of guys that I was, talking to, messaging, whatever, maybe a phone call here and there. They were, in terms of who they were as people, more fully formed adults, professionally more evolved, all those things. I am not an afterthought. So if I don't have any sort of contact from them after a week, I bow out. And I listen to my gut. So, and I don't care if this person, you know, has a house in Maine and they have this and that. I don't care. And Alicia's like, well, Maine's good because we've seen the Northern Lights. It doesn't matter. doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. I'm confident enough to dip out. I'm not going to make a lateral move. I will not be funny. You should bring all of that up because I'm going to, allegedly, tomorrow I have a coffee date, because the first date should always be coffee, an hour and you're out. Tomorrow I have a date with somebody that I have had two phone calls with them. The phone chemistry is ridiculous, and I'm fascinated by this person. Am I like, oh, my God, No. I'm just like, this is someone I could be really, really good friends with, fascinated by this person. Is he the most attractive person out there? No. Have I dated way more attractive people than him? Absolutely. But what makes him attractive to me, and he's not unattractive, he's just not drop-dead gorgeous, but I don't find that attractive, is his intelligence and his, he's an amazing conversationalist, and just who he appears to be as a person.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't mean that I'm blindly rushing into, okay, this is the panacea, this is the tourniquet. So this time going in, I am very well aware of my alignment with who I am, and the blinders are not going on. The blinders are staying off. I need to see everything. And whatever happens, I'm not attached, because energetically the value for me is recognizing the upgrade of consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why random Karen, because this was a Karen, random Karen's going to come up to me to say, I hear you're exceptional. And she's not talking about, you know, how I rated the professor with the students. Which is, but you know what? If people, I'm like, oh, they're talking about me. So the GM must have told my boss. Okay, and my boss must have told her friend, and
right.
She runs in all these privileged circles, and I'm like,
gosh.
You know what? I'm not mad at that, because if that's what you're, if that's how I'm being talked about, that's kind of hot, actually. I'm not mad at that. And then I'm supposed to give her the secrets of the Holy Grail, you know, and when I try to say it in like a more sort of lay person's terms, well, you know, I don't think so, but that's funny. But I really kind of use it for self-development. But here's a few tips, you know, and I gave her a couple stupid tips. But, yeah. And then she emailed me, this woman who said I was exceptional, she emailed me to introduce me to one of her students that needed some advice. And she probably felt that I could be more helpful, because the student was a filmmaker of color, and she felt that the student could relate more to me than to her, whatever. And she was right.
Okay.
And then she's like, yes. No, she was right, actually. And I really liked this student. I actually, you know, did a Zoom with her and supported her and gave her some advice, because I'd like to do that. But in this email, when she's setting up this introduction with this, one of her students, she's like, and I'm going to be moving into the city soon. I'm like, oh, now this bitch wants to be my friend. Like, no. No. I fly solo. Oh, my God. Can you imagine? Oh, my God. I'm like, no, girl, first of all, you need a makeover, and then we'll take it from there, okay?
Oh, my gosh.
No. Yeah, and I like to look good for myself. If I gave anybody advice, like, when you leave the house like you're going to run into an ex. Hello.
Mm.
You know? And it doesn't mean you have to be all dolled up, but, like, you can invest five minutes of energy to looking cute for you. And
right.
Then it becomes a habit. You know what I'm saying? Oh, my God. It's so funny. Oh, my God. Anyway. But thank you for that. But yeah, thank you for that. yes. That parallel, because it's true. And I wanted to point out with you, girl, I am not into sports at all. I don't know that from anything, but I have to say you put it in such humanistic and tangible terms that you're very good at expressing those things. Like, I'm like, girl, get a TikTok, do something, like hashtag that, do something. Seriously, there's something there. There is something there. You know, you talk about, it's interesting because years and years ago, when we first started doing this Rinky Dink podcast, or back then, internet radio. Remember when it was called internet radio?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And I remember I picked up early on about writing. I don't know. Maybe you should write about this.
Hmm.
It's really interesting, you know, the way that you just break it down for everybody. So,
thank you for that. Yeah.
It's good. Yeah. Something, or do a podcast or something, or TikTok or something, because it's really, really interesting.
Hmm.
Anyway, so there are things, you know, there are possibilities. Just saying.
Yeah. I don't know why all of a sudden, well, it's not just women's soccer, although that's, like, you think I'd watch games all the time. I watch the World Cup if I can.
Yeah, I know.
I really do want to watch.
Yeah.
I really do want to watch more club soccer, but because we don't have a women's team in the Atlanta area, I'm not inclined to track people. You know, the closest would maybe be in North Carolina or Florida, you know, Orlando. New York has a women's soccer team. It's New York, New Jersey.
Oh, really?
Gotham FC, which is actually kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That actually is very cool, but, you know, it's New York, so hello.
Yeah. Oh, you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Come on.
But I think anytime there's like a big story that comes out, like with a few years ago, it was the U.S. gymnastics scandal, you know, with the
mm-hmm.
the team coach who was abusing all these gymnasts, all these athletes for years.
I know, these little girls. Yep.
And then obviously the psychological effect of for those women, because they're now women, and how it's taken a toll on them, but to still be able to function even on such an elite level, in spite of all of that, like that. So on the one hand, they did really well, but man, like when it finally came out and it became public, and it was like, yeah, all these women started coming up from you know, gold medal winners to college athletes who had, you know, it's such a terrible thing to have something kept such a big secret, you know, to have that in the whole
mm-hmm.
environment, and you don't even think about, or you don't want to think about the ramifications of all that. You don't, but this is like, has been repeated so many times, like, you know, Catholic Church, hello. you have so many institutions that have been set up under a certain, guise of, oh, it should be this, and it's, you know, it's very powerful. It can do a lot of good. It's created some great things. And then you see where some of the stuff is in the corners, and you don't hear about it, but everyone seems to know about it, you know?
Yep. Everybody seems to know about it. There you go. And what we do know is, if you guys need to segue, if you guys need to get a hold of us, you can send an email to loablend@gmail.com. And we are next back on the air this coming Tuesday at 8:30 a.m. United States Eastern Time. Please take care of yourself and each other. And as always, let the light do the work and to brighter days ahead. But, yeah, I love listening to you. I learned all kinds of things today. Love you.
Love you.
Love you. Bye.